Father, we come around your word. I pray, Lord, you help me. Again, God, I ask for your help. Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that anointing abides. And I thank you, Lord, that you will teach us today from your word. Our lives will be richer. Our marriages will be stronger. Our relationships today would be deepened because of this word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated, everybody. So I want to talk to you today on community. Can everybody say community? No, can I say community? And we were created, I believe, to be in relationships. Do you believe that? Matter of fact, let me just show you what the Bible says about somebody who just wants to live by themselves. Have you ever seen that Christian that says, well, I don't need church and all I need is God and all I need is my church. And my church is going out to the mountain, or my church is, you know, sitting at home and reading my Bible. My church is my family. You know, can I tell you, I actually think that person actually, in my opinion, in light of Scripture, and I'm not saying this because I'm the pastor of the church. I'm saying this because I think God's word tells us what that spirit is. And that is an independent spirit that actually doesn't understand how we were made. We were made in the image and the likeness of God, and we were never called to live life alone. Yes. Look what the Bible says, Proverbs 18, verse 1. It says, he who isolates himself. Everybody say himself. Come on, say himself. He who isolates himself. In other words, some people say, well, I went to that church or I went to that group and it was too clicky. I couldn't get in. There was no room for me. Can I tell you, as long as you blame other people for why you live life by yourself, you'll never understand what this verse is trying to tell you. He who isolates himself. It's a choice you make. He who isolates himself. The Bible says, seeks his own desire. In other words, they've got something going on that is different than everybody else around them. He who isolates himself seeks his own desire and then rages against all wise judgment. Well, I don't know how to say it. How do you put that in a more modern day term when someone says, you're raging against all wise judgment? Well, I know in Australia, there'd be a word we'd have for somebody like that. It would be, you're an idiot. It's like, it's a crazy thing to do. All wise judgment, every sign that says, go back, you're going the wrong way. Every sign that says, turn around. Every sign, all wise judgment is saying, back it up. You're going the wrong direction. Regardless of all that wisdom and all that instruction, you are still choosing because you've got your own desire to isolate yourself from everybody else. And I've heard people say it, and I love the fact there are people watching online, and I love the fact that you're there today watching. But can I tell you something? It's God does not want you just sitting in your house. This is a good first step, because maybe this is your step back to community, but God does not want you to be sitting there by yourself. You are created to by God to be in fellowship and relationship and part of the house of God. Amen. So I'm just calling you out this morning. Come on, there's some wise judgment coming your way today. Get yourself in the house of God. For those who are watching TV, I think, you know, an average of 30, sometimes 40,000 people every Sunday are watching this TV show in Hampton Roads. I'm calling you out. I'm glad you're watching. This is a good first step, but there's some wise counsel coming your way. God does not want you in your house by yourself. He wants you in relationship in his church. I don't care what church you go to. Just get yourself in church. That was a patter of applause. And yet I believe there needs to be wise counsel encouraging everybody watching online. And come on, wouldn't it be great to see all those people? Not just... And there are reasons why people can and do watch online, and that's all good, and we're glad you are. But let it be the first step to get you into a bigger sense of community. Amen? Yeah. The devil will always try to remove you from God connections and healthy environments. You know, the church is a healthy environment. Amen? Yeah. Family is a healthy environment. Wise counsel, people in and around your life that'll offer you wisdom. And I'm just thinking about this. I'm thinking, everything God created to be in its God-ordained attachment. Think about that. Come on, think about every campus this morning. I want you to think in Los Angeles. I want you to think about it in North Carolina. I want everybody to think about this just for a moment. Think about this now in Norfolk. Okay, everything God created, it's always connected to a God-ordained environment. Okay, like a fish. God said, you know, let there be water and let there be fish. So God's God-ordained environment for the fish is what? Water. It's not a profound question, is it? It's just water, right? How many know a sick fish is still better off in the water than it is out of the water? So if the fish that gets sick goes, man, this is not working for me, all this water, I got to get out of the water. And so it decides to get out of the water. What's it going to do? It's going to die. Some Christians think that I don't need the church. I'm going to get out of my God-ordained environment. I'm going to leave the church. But the problem with that is you're taking yourself away from the God-ordained environment that God created us to be in. Amen. Think about that. And the family unit, just marriage and family and all, but that's in God-ordained environment. I'm going to get out. But God has a God-ordained environment. I want to bring you back to the origin of how God made us and who made us and whose likeness we're made in. Think about this, a flower. What's a flower's God-ordained environment? Think about it. What would it be? Soil, wouldn't it? Now, the flower, as long as it remains in its God-ordained environment, it's going to flourish. Take the flower out of the soil, it'll die. Amen? A bird. What's a bird's God-ordained environment? It's the air. It's trees. Take the bird out of its God-ordained environment, it will never flourish and live to the fullness of who created it and why it was created for. Come on, somebody say amen. And so I'm just thinking about the devil loves to try and create what I believe counterfeits. Why do people gravitate to groups? And it's because God created us in his likeness. We're created to be in community. So the devil, knowing that, would love to try and distort that because he knows we're created to be in relationship. Are you with me here? To be in, not to be in isolation. So the devil knows that and creates counterfeits. You know, alternate options. I mean, like for instance, what took place yesterday in Charlottesville, you see this group of people who obviously had something in common and they were walking down the street protesting, and that is to me a illegitimate God, a devil's counterfeit for the idea that God wants us in a community. Are you hearing me? Gangs and cults. But the devil knows that actually we are created by God to identify in a group context. So he creates, I think, even illegitimate options to try and get us away from the God connections. Are you with me here? And people who are in groups, they're looking for family, they're looking for acceptance. And in a gang, they're saying, don't judge me, I'll just come in with all my brokenness and all my poverty because we share those things in common. And maybe in terms of a group and a gang, there's protection, there's recognition, there's a sense of I matter. They have a common cause. And there are healthy environments. I mean, for instance, here's a good example. Who's ever seen cyclists on the road here in Virginia Beach? And they always ride in groups, don't they? And it's all, I watch them and I think that's fantastic. And they all wear the same clothes, have you noticed? Please don't wear those anywhere else except riding on the bicycle. Except maybe if you stop for a coffee or something at Starbucks, I've seen you there. Wonderful, just get back on your bike, keep riding. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you with me here? And so there's like going to a gym, and you create a community, you create a sense of family, you create a sense of belonging, and they're healthy groups to be a part of, but we've got to know what is God's ordained environment for us. And so I'm just thinking about, like, for instance, if you're into hiking, if you're into art, there's great hobbies where you find others who share the same passions as you, and groups are good as long as they're not exclusive. Can anybody say amen to that? We must be inclusive. We can't afford to be cliquey. Yet we all have a tendency to identify with people who are just like us. So where does this desire for community come from? Because it's in our DNA. It's something inherent, intuitive within us that we gravitate toward it. And he who isolates himself is raging against all wise judgment. So where does this desire come from? Genesis 1, 26. Look what it says. God said. Everybody say, God said. So how many of God said it? It's God's plan. It's not like something I made up as the pastor of a church. Are you with me here? I'm not trying to gather some masses for the sake of my ego so I can speak to people. This is God's plan. Come on, somebody say amen. God said, let us. Everybody say us. So when God said, let us, he wasn't just there by himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us, are you hearing me? So community, not singular, let us make man, watch this, in our image. Let us, make man in our image. So God said, let us make people just like we are. In other words, we were created to be in community because God himself made us in his image and his likeness. We are not created, and that's why God said when he saw Adam all by himself, he goes, it's not good for man to be alone. So the whole idea is, listen to it, God is not all you need. You, God in the mountain, is not enough, my friend. You are committing spiritual suicide by thinking all you need is God and nothing else. We are created in the image and the likeness of God. Let us make man in our image. You are not created to be alone and isolated and independent and individual and have nothing to do with anything else or nobody else. We're created to be in family. So now if I were the devil, I would do everything I can to counterfeit family. I would do everything I can to break down the family unit, husband, wife, children. I would do everything I can to distort that, to confuse that, and look at the world in which we live. Amen. And I think the enemy's done a great job of trying to break down the family unit, family values, yet it all comes back to the intention of God and how he made us in his image, in his likeness. Let us make man in our image. Come on, somebody say amen. So I want you to think about it because this morning, I believe as we go through this process, look what he says here in verse 27, if we have verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is God's idea. Everybody see that? God created male and female. There was no gender confusion. He created them, male and female. Look at the next verse. And then he said, he blessed them. And then God said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea in Jesus' name. Have fish over the dominion. Have dominion. Have fish. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. That was the wrong way around. Fish have dominion over us. No. Okay. And over the birds of the air, on every living thing that moves on the ground. Okay. So God said, let us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he made man and he said, let us make man in our image. Okay. Community. God. Did we say God? Now say community. And then he said, listen, go back to the verse. He says, he blessed them. Be fruitful, be effective, be successful, be productive. Come on. Anything that's living is growing. Amen. Come on, do something. Don't just pay the bills. Don't just live your life. Don't just blend in. Stand out. Be fruitful and multiply. Make a difference. Have children, have offspring, build community. And I think they're the four basic needs of mankind right there. We bring everything back to the origin. By the way, I didn't want to stop your applause. It's nice that you did that. Come on, give the Lord a hand. We got to bring everything back to its original intention, to our original design. And this is how God made us. He made us in his image. He made us in his likeness. And so I believe people, mankind, has four basic needs. And here's the first one. Every say, no God. Every say, no God. Come on, every campus. I want you to catch this. This is, I believe, I just want you to know, I believe this is being today a life-defining message of where we want to see our church go in our future. Four thoughts. Number one, I believe that everybody should know God. There should not be one person. And can I just say this? And please don't think I've got an axe to grind when I say it, because I really don't. But I thank God for all the things that we hear people do all over the world. And we do a lot of good things all over the world. That was your chance to say amen. If you don't know, we do. We're involved in Africa. We're involved in Israel. We're involved in Russia. We're involved on a global scale in so many different ways in Uganda. We do a lot of good work in on television and orphanages. And I got to tell you, it's good. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we hear about, you know, maybe what's happening in Haiti. We hear maybe what's happening in some other place about, you know, people being rescued and all the rest of it. And we are moved, our hearts are touched, and we take a special offering. And that's when you are often the most generous as a church, as we give people the opportunity to give to those things. But can I tell you something? As much as it's great to reach everybody out there, it's all got to start here. And when I drive down Great Neck Road here, when I drive down Atlantis Apartments in Virginia Beach, those people need God as much as everybody else all over the world. And we are here in Jesus' name to see to it that at least it says, you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem. Do you know what Jerusalem is? It's not a geographical location in the sense of the place of Israel. It's where you live. We live in Virginia Beach, and before we do everything else out there, we got to first be witnesses in our own city and make sure we're reaching our city. And I'm not going to be satisfied till everybody in Virginia Beach knows God. Come on. And the same's true for every campus in which we have a church. We are here so that people would know God. That is the basic need of every human, because God made us. We are made in His image. We don't know our purpose. We don't know our identity. We don't know who we are, why we're put on planet Earth, till we first know God. You gotta know Him. Just because you go to church does not make you a Christian. Going to Taco Bell does not make you a taco. Wow, are you a Christian? I think so. I hope so. I go to church. That does not make you a Christian. Having a life-changing encounter with God for yourself, and that's what Sunday services are all about. Before we do anything, everything of who we are and what we do as a church is that people would know God. They that know Him shall be strong and do exploits. If you're weak and mealy-mouthed and pathetic and miserable and always under the circumstances, I'm just wondering, how well do you know God? Because they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Come on. Matthew 16, verse 13. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked His disciples, the Dirty Dozen, "Who do men say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." All those were good answers. "What about you?" He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you," watch this, "by flesh or blood, but by my Father in heaven." Now watch this now, watch. "And I tell you," watch this, "I tell you that you are Peter," watch, "and on this rock I will build my church." Can I tell you, Wave Church, when it comes to our Sunday services, let me put it this way, Wave Church, when it comes to when we do youth services every week, Wave Church, when it comes to we do women services every week, it's about to all start up here soon. Wave Church, when it comes to our Sunday morning, Sunday evening services, and we have Sunday morning, some of you need to know, we actually have a Sunday evening service. You wouldn't know that, but we do. You have me here? And everything we do about church on Sunday, can I say this? I don't want to offend you now. You ready for this? Isn't for you. It's for those who don't know Him yet. And God's priority will always be lost people. Come on, heaven rejoices more over one person that gets saved than over 99 righteous people. Heaven's celebrating a lot more over anybody who doesn't yet know God and finds God than over someone who's found God. And everything we do church on Sundays is not about you. It's about doing everything we can to help people find God. There's a lot of things that people would like the church to do more of. But because it's all about what they would prefer. We should have longer worship. We should have longer word. We should have this. And it's all about what they want. But it's not about what you want. Ultimately, Sunday is all about making sure the first priority of the kingdom, the most basic need that people have, number one, is to find God. Yes. Come on, somebody say amen. And so, you know, church is all about helping people find God. Number two, listen to this. I believe this, that the basic need, number one is to find God, but number two is to know God rather, but number two is to find community. Because it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image." God said that. So you got to find Him. Come on, somebody say amen. You got to know Him. Then you got to find community. Look what it says here. In the context of God's plan for mankind, in light of family, Adam and then Eve. And then He said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let us make man in our image." We are created to be in community. Yeah. We're created to be in that God-ordained attachment. And Jesus said, I will build my church. Come on, I will build my church. Not para-church ministry. Not men's ministry. Not women's aglow. Not promise keepers. Anything that actually feeds to strengthen the local church is a legitimate thing. But Jesus said, I will build my church. And the church is the community that God wants Christians. Once you find God, then he wants to put you in community. Come on, somebody say amen. And we've got to know these are the four basic needs that people have. And that's what I want us to know today, discover today. So the devil has distorted God's plan for community by breaking down the family unit, hasn't he? And so let me read you some scriptures. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and toward good deeds, not giving up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I don't know when this TV show will be broadcast, but wouldn't it be wonderful the next week that this show was broadcast that all 30,000 of those people rocked the doors of Wade Church here? Because I'm still telling you, come on, you're welcome here. There's room for you. Amen. Everybody online that can be here. Some people just get in the habit of it, and that the Bible says, let us actually not give up meeting together, stay in community. Come on. Go back to your original intent and original design. And it says in Romans chapter 4, for each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. In other words, you don't have a right to just isolate yourself. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, so that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Wouldn't that be a miracle when you look at some Christian social media post today? Come on, somebody say amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It says, every day, everybody say every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts and they broke bread in their... Okay, that was a very, very quiet answer. And they broke bread in their... Where do they break bread? Come on, where do they break bread? Why don't you shout it? Where do they break bread? In their homes. They were in the temple, and it says, and they broke bread in their homes. What is that? That's community. That's building connections. And it says, and to were glad with sincere hearts and ate together, praising God with the favor of the people. And the Lord added daily to the numbers those who were being saved. Listen to it again. Proverbs 18, verse 1. He who isolates himself rages against all. That's the wrong translation, but it was the other one we had before. He who isolates himself rages against all wise judgment. Can you see it? So today, I want to. This is my big goal today, is to fold out what I'm about to tell you right now in every campus. We have been studying this for over probably 2 years. How do we really help build people in a sense of community? Sometimes if people say, excuse me, I go to Wave Church and man, I just found it hard to fit in. You'll always hear that in churches because it's a confronting atmosphere sometimes. You with me here? And so we're thinking, how do we help people deal with that? How do we help people as we get bigger? How do we help people build that sense of community? And one of the things I've discovered is every large growing church, have these four basic things that I'm talking about today in common. Said different ways, but all of us share the same philosophy. Number one, people got to find God. But number two, they got to find community. We got to bring people back to their original intent of how God created us. And that is in relationship in the context of God's ordained environment, I believe, is church on Sundays, but also in community. So we're starting a new word for connect groups. It's called community groups, just to be clear, to help people. Number one, listen to this. You got to know, number one, God. And then you got to find community. And to me, the Bible says here, they don't get in the habit of just missing church. Don't get in the habit of just living an isolated life. But I want to today introduce you to this new word called community groups. It's not a new thing. It's something we've been doing here for years. But we're wanting to put greater clarity to it. And I want to say, as of next week, we're going to be asking everybody to get on board and connect everybody. Listen to me, everybody say everybody. Everybody to connect to a community group. And what I want to do is I want to show you a whole new plan that we're rolling out as of September of what these community groups are going to look like. And so have a look here at the dates, first of all. These are the dates. The first semester is our fall semester, starting September the 11th through to November the 18th, because the next week is Thanksgiving, and that gets crazy. And then after that, it's leading up to Christmas and all the Christmas work parties and all our production of Christmas and everything into the new year. So we're going to be offering a 10-week break, but we'll be meeting every week for 10 weeks for this next semester. Everybody understand what we're doing here? Here's what I'll say to you. We would like you, if you've been through our journey program, which is just 4 weeks, and you've been through that, we would like to say anybody in Wave Church can host a community group. As long as you've been through our journey, anyone can host a community group. We're calling it Free Market Open. Now, that doesn't mean if you've written your own little private book, you can teach your private little book. But what it does mean is we're going to have curriculum that's an extensive list of curriculum, which we will be adding to as often as we see good teaching come out. We'll be adding to it. But it's going to run every week for 10 weeks, and then it's going to have a 10-week break. Everybody see that? And then we'll start then the winter semester, which goes for 13 weeks. Then we're going to have a 7-week break. Then we're going to do summer semester, which goes for 6 weeks. And then we'll have a 6-week break and go back to the fall. Have a look at the curriculum we're going to be offering. Watch this. This will be in the family parenting side of the curriculum. You can host a group. Matter of fact, you can sign up today to be a host. You can host a community group in your home. And you can sign up today. If you just go out to our information counter, is there a community group stand out there, or is it just the information counter? In our, there is or there isn't? Is there a stand out there? It's the information counter. Okay, so the information, you think I'd know all this stuff, wouldn't you? Believe me, give me so many details, I get confused. But if you go out to our information counter, you can actually say, I want to host a group. And then we would love you to do that. Some people think, I don't know the Bible. We're giving you the curriculum. Are you with me here? We're going to give you all the training, all the curriculum, and we would love you to open up your home to bring people back to a sense of how God created us, to be in community. It's in community you can take the mask off. It's in community you can get people to pray for you. It's in community you can get a level of care and friendship and relationship, because he who isolates himself rages against all wisdom. We used to have community groups every other week, but we realized if you miss a week, it'll be a month between that and the next group. So we want to do this for 10 weeks and then have a break. How many think this is a great idea? I'm excited about it. I really am. So and look at that extensive curriculum for family and parenting. Then the next one, let's have a look, is the financial. So you can be part of a community group that that's going to be teaching, working through those different curriculum of actually getting management over your finances and victory over your finances. Then we can go from there into the next group. There's marriage connect groups. There's also marriage builders classes that happen there all the time. And there's all the different curriculum. You can host one of these. Then the next one is men, and there's all the curriculum for the men. Then the next one is more men. Man, that's an extensive list. Then the women. Look at the Priscilla Shira, Beth Moore, goodness me, Lisa Bevere, Beth Moore, Holly Wagner. Look at the women. It goes on, because they need a lot of teaching. They need a lot of help. My single mom and one in a million, lots of that. And then what else is there? Then there's prayer, and there's all the, you can actually host a prayer group, and there's the curriculum you can teach through on prayer. Then go to the next one, and it's youth and young adults, and there's great curriculum there. And then there's more young adults for males and young adults for females. There it all is. Then there's more. What else is there? That's it. That's enough. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. If you would like to host a community group, would you let us know today? We'll want to make sure you've been in our journey program so you know who we are, what we do, where we're going. And if you've got curriculum you'd like us to look at as something that we might consider also adding to it, we'd love to see it. As long as you work with the list of what we've got in every campus, and that's why I'm speaking every campus today, I want everybody to know. Number one, listen to it. You got to simply know God. You got to find God. Amen. And then you got to, listen to this, discover community. You've got to know what it is to be. We are bringing people back, I believe, to the original intention and design of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. Our God-ordained environment is relationships. It is not good for man to be alone. So, matter of fact, as of next week, we want to ask everybody to sign up in some community group, and that will be awesome. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that. I think that's really good. And then I got to finish. I got to land this plane real quick. Then, and I'm going to talk about this more in the weeks to come. Next week, I'll be talking about this again. But you've got to discover, number three, you've got to discover your purpose. Remember I said, Jesus said, now that you know who I am, Peter, now that you found me, now I'm going to tell you who you are. You'll never know who you are until you know who he is. Did you hear me? You'll never know who you are until you know who he is. Some people spend their whole life trying to get fulfillment, but you'll never know who you are. What? This is the ultimate answer to the ultimate question. Who am I? Okay? You are made in the image of the likeness of God. And here's, why am I here? What is my purpose? And I believe it's the third basic need of humanity. You've got to know your purpose. Listen to what the Bible says. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the work of the devil. For this purpose, what's your purpose? I know my purpose. My purpose is to get heaven to party. I know why God said, Son, I'll tell you why you were born. You were born to get heaven to celebrate. Because the Bible says heaven rejoices more over one person that finds God than over 99 righteous people. Angels have a party. They celebrate. They rejoice. And I know God put Stephen, Gerard, Patrick, Gregory, Kelly. I know that's a lot of names. I know God put me on the earth to help people find Christ, to pastor Wave Church. That's why I was born. That's why God put me here. That's why I moved from Australia to the United States, not just to pastor any old church, another church. And America didn't need another church. But God, if my purpose is to help people find God and to make a difference, I'm there. I'll do it every day, all day. Come hell, high water, come good, come bad. Come angels, nor demons, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things past. No obstacle, nothing. Come on. I know why I was born. And everybody in this room has got a purpose. You've got to know your purpose. We'll talk more about it next week. And then finally is to make a difference. I mean, God's not just called you. I want you to hear this. God's not just called you to blend in. God's not just called you. I mean, sometimes, I remember this one guy. I always go up to him and say, how you doing, man? And, you know, I just saw great potential in him. And he goes, oh, I'm just making a living, just paying the bills. And every time I spoke to him, I said, you know, you need to get past that. There's more to life than just making a living. There's more to life than just paying the bills. You got purpose. You're here to make a difference. Do you realize there are people today, how many would agree with this? There are people here today that would rather work for a job with a lesser income where they feel like they're making a difference than in a work environment where they're getting paid even more money where they don't feel like they're making a difference. How many agree with that? Amen? To me, and I'm thinking about this scripture, it says, let us make man in our image. And then he made Adam and he made Eve. And then he said, be fruitful. There's your purpose. And it goes, and multiply. It's because you're there to make a difference. You're not just there to make a living. And this one guy had said, man, you got to stop saying that. You got to get out of bed for something bigger than just making a living, paying the bills. And I remember he said to me one day, he goes, I'm sick of you saying that I got to have a bigger purpose than that. I said, I'm sick of you saying that's all you got to say. So you're going to get sick of me before I'll ever get sick of you, I tell you now. Because there's more to life than just being a social security number. There's more to life. Can I tell you something? You were born with a purpose. You'll never know who you are till you know who he is. And you won't do it in isolation. You'll do it in community. And then you got to discover your purpose. Who am I? Why was I here? Now, not everybody's called to do what I do. Sadly to say, the church, not this one, the other one down the road. That's supposed to be funny. The church has always somehow made the only legitimate ministry what a pastor does. Or what a missionary does. I met a good friend of mine. His name's Dr. Joe Monaco. And I love Joe. He's one of my dearest friends. And I remember when I first came here, I used to preach, like, you know, there's this lie that we get from the Catholic Church. And I don't even know the Catholic Church are lying as much as they're in error. Do you know what I mean? And they're in error of this idea of clergy and laity. And by the way, I understand they're changing some of that now, which is I'm pleased to hear. But the idea is clergy is me, like the minister, the priest, the reverend, you know what I mean? And then there's laity. And the clergy does all the priestly stuff. and then the laity just watch what the clergy do. You hear me here? That is so unbiblical. Because the Bible says we're all saints. We're all ministers. Matter of fact, the Bible says the contrary to that. It says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So he gave some to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. So if the some are there to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, who does the work of the ministry? The saints or the some? It's not the some, it's the saints. So I used to say, man, if you're in business, that's God's purpose for your life. And you're just as anointed by God to build that business and to do something great for God as I am pastoring this church. Amen. And I remember Joe used to say to me, you know, people used to come up and say, well, what do you do for a living? And Joe says, well, I'm an economist. I've got a PhD in economics and I have my own company, financial management consulting company. And people used to say, oh, what a shame. One day maybe you'll be in the ministry. And he goes, I always felt like a secondhand Christian. He goes, until I heard you teach the biblical values that we're all in ministry. Can I tell you, whatever it is that you do, you're anointed by God and it's your purpose and you're there to make a difference in Jesus' name. You're not just here just to go to church and you know, you're here to make a difference. Talk to this couple, Bill and Ann Verbally, own a radio station. I promise you there's days when they would have loved to have given up on that baby. The amount of time and effort and energy and challenges with staff and all the rest of it, antennas and signals and FAA, and I'm sure all the challenges and architecture and facilities and signal and all the people that tried to hijack the name, I'm aware of the challenges they've had, I promise you. But why are they still doing it? Because they believe inherently they're there to make a difference. They're trying to be a voice to people in the Christian radio station to reach out to people that they would know God. Come on, somebody say amen. You're here to make a difference. You're not just here to blend in. You're here to stand out. With the real Christians, come on. Make a difference. Do something. Too many people that live this kind of life. Well, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, I don't know. Well, I hate that. That's like boring. Get it? I mean, when's the last time you did something for the first time? Amen. I mean, let's all do something. Let's all dress up as ants and rob the Chinese restaurant. Let's have some fun. You're here to make a difference. That was supposed to be funny. It's like God didn't call you just to just making a living. No, no, you're here to make a difference. Be fruitful and multiply. Four basic needs. Did you hear me? Four basic needs. What are they? Think about it again. What are they? Number one, tell me. To know God. Number two, find community. Number three, discover your purpose. Number four, make a difference. I believe with all my heart, they're the four basic needs that people have. And I want to unfold that into the weeks to come and talk to you about where we want to take our church in giving greater clarity to what we've been doing for 19 years in Jesus' name. As of today, here's my goal. Number one. Number one goal from this message is people would know God today through this message. Number two, everybody understand we are created to be in community. And either you're open to hosting a group, or number two, next week you'll be looking for a group that you want to be a part of. Amen? And then in the weeks to come, we want to help you know what it is, how to make a difference. We're going to be talking about it. I'm going to give it back to all our campuses. Come on, give the Lord a hand for his word. Singers, musicians, come on back. Come on, give God some praise. Oh, I love August. Do you like August? It's hot. Praise God. It's a good time to get out on the boat. Isn't it? If you have a boat. If you don't have a boat, the best boat to have is a friend's boat. You know what boat stands for? Break out another $1,000. Praise the Lord. You're doing good? Come on, you're here to make a difference. Look at me, my friend, as I talk to you. Everybody at Chesapeake, I know I've still got you, and I know I've got our online audience, and I have this audience. Look at me, please, nobody move. Look at me. Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? This church, the reason I came from Australia, born in America, moved to Australia, the reason I moved back, some of you were born at Virginia Beach. You don't know how good you got it here. I chose to live here. Are you hearing me? If you were born here, you got no idea how good you got it. Do you know Virginia Beach is rated again the number one big city in all of the United States to live in? The best city. I love this area. How about you? People say, oh, what are you doing in Virginia Beach? I think, go live somewhere else. Go live somewhere else. I chose to live here. Amen. Look at me. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. I came here because I didn't want to just pastor another church. America didn't need another church, but a church that can be an example to churches, a church that can hold up the arms of other churches, a church that can be a blessing to our city through things like Wave City Care Makeover. Actually, I think it's in 2 weeks' time, the 26th of August, if I got it right. There's a school makeover. That's the kind of difference I want to make, where we're going to be asking you to help us be involved in many different schools and many different cities based on the geographical location. So we're going to ask you to go today out to Wave City Care and sign up and say, I'll be there Saturday week. We'd love you to be there. Make a difference. Serve. This church is called to be a gift to our community, to bring answers. But right now, do you know Jesus? Look at me. Do you know Jesus? Not well, I think I'm a Christian. Well, I hope I'm a Christian. Well, I once prayed a prayer. Come on. Like I said, Taco Bell, going to Taco Bell does not make you a taco. Going to church does not make you a Christian. It's having a life-changing encounter with Jesus that makes you a Christian. I'm going to believe God. Who's going to believe God with me? People are going to meet Jesus. Come on, who's going to believe with me? Right here, right now, as I close this service, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but I am going to ask you to do one very courageous thing. And that is, in a moment when we pray, I'm going to ask you to take your hands and I want you to put it in the air. And by doing that, you're saying, Steve, pray for me. I want to know God. God bless you. Somebody's already lifting their hands. Just take your hand and say, Steve, today, I don't know him as you speak of. Steve, today, I'm not right with God. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Others here today, come on, let's be in prayer. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. And there's another hand right there. God bless you. Who else today? Well, just lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. God bless you right there. Give it a wave if I haven't seen it, because I want to pray with you. God bless you right there. Others here today, say, Steve, pray for me. God bless you right there. Others here today, lift it. Come on, God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Hands are being raised in Chesapeake. Come on, lift your hand. Come on, anyone else? Sir, I see that hand. Anybody else? Give it a wave if I haven't seen it. Online, you can click that button. I'm making a decision. This is my last call. Friend, listen to me. Listen to me. I know we're in prayer, but listen to me. This is your moment to meet God. This is your moment to discover God. This is your day. This is your hour. This is your opportunity to meet God. Come on, friend, if that's you, lift your hands. Lift it right now. I'll pray with you and I'll pray for you in the name of Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't want to miss out on you. Church, let's give a lot of hand for every single person in Chesapeake. Amen. Everybody who lifted your hand, I'm going to get us all to pray a prayer. Can we do it together? Come on, out loud. Did you say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Give a Lord a hand if you receive that word.